Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of the Jake and Ree Show. Today, we're going to discuss Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. This book came to me through my dad. My dad likes to get library books. It's one of his chief hobbies. I don't think he's read a book since school, but every time I visit home, there's like 50 books for me and for Rhiannon, based vaguely on a...
No, there's barely any books for me.
What are you talking about?
That was one of my
right here. Critiques. I'm holding the best American Science and Nature writing, which my dad gave you from the library.
Yeah, but that's only because I made a critique from the Airbnb.
Oh, that he only gave you like 5 books or something. Yeah.
And they were all weird.
Yeah, late fees are canceled, so even though we live hundreds of miles from my parents, they can just leave us library books. They should really reinstitute late fees. Yeah, so normally I don't read them because I'm visiting my parents. I don't have time to read books. I'm actually against reading. I was going to write something about how I'm against reading, but you shouldn't read it when I write it. It would be a mistake because reading's a mistake. Sorry, Rhiannon dropped the mic. Hopefully it didn't blow your ears out.
No, it's on a foam cushion.
Okay. Blow the mic.
All
right. You can blow the mic if you want. No one listens. Actually, we got 4 likes, and I think if you get 4 likes, that means 40 people listened. It's like the ratio or something. Real fans like my tweets.
Oh, yeah, and then click the link in the show notes for the OnlyFans.
Oh, should we make an OnlyFans? I vote no. We should discuss this later, though.
Okay. See the show notes. But anyways...
There are no show notes.
Okay, whatever.
Every loose end will be tied up. There'll be nothing to go back and discuss in the notes.
Yeah, we're just going to spend the next 20 minutes speed reading through this book, actually.
Yeah, because we forgot everything. It covers a lot of ground. It's, what, like 40,000 years of human history? 80,000? 100,000 years?
I think he skips a few bits.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about every single year. That's true. Something I was thinking about. So in the beginning, he emphasizes how like early humans were the same as modern humans biologically. Just they had like different ideas and they lived different lives, but they're like, you know, humans. And we shouldn't like forget that, like, you know, some of the greatest artists who ever lived probably died before we invented writing, you know. But I feel like in another sense, like actually most of human history has happened like after the year 1500 because there's just so many more people, you know. Every year in 2021 is worth like 1,000 years in the year 10,000 BC, right? If you just like weight it by the amount of conscious observers doing things.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more people, huh?
Yeah. There's going to be many more.
Yeah. I think after reading this book, like one of my biggest takeaways was... the importance of like individual human happiness basically versus like her satisfaction. Like, I don't know, I guess like one of his main themes was like throughout history, people like kind of just like went with the technological advances. And then only now, like, is there a growing importance of like historians to recognize like individual human suffering and like satisfaction when we have like all of these, I don't know, like revolutions or like discoveries, like industrial revolution or like agricultural revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we have all this meme technology, but do the memes make us happy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Memes are the first technology optimized for human happiness. And perhaps the last technology we'll ever make, since
memes are actually the only thing that made me happy.
Hey, I'm right here, Yon. Maybe I'll send you some memes later.
This is a meme.
Okay, good. I'm not familiar.
Well, the book starts out with kind of Yuval's, I mean, I guess like being a historian, you can't really get away from bringing your own biases and things to looking at human history. But he makes a big point about how the hunter-gatherers actually had it pretty well, had it pretty good. And like they lived in communities and And now with like the rise of capitalism, there's like a loss of this like community oriented groups. And, you know, like even though they had to like hunt and gather stuff, they didn't have like agriculture yet. They actually had more free time and there was like less individual suffering, even though maybe the lifespan wasn't as long or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess like in 2021, it's been like years since I've seen any of my friends, and the only way I can communicate with them is through podcast. It's a pretty dark time. I guess no hunter-gatherer had to contend with that.
Yeah. Well, so he begins the book talking about like this kind of early human history, and then the body of the book, I would say like he goes through these different themes of like capitalism, religion. He talks a lot about like these LLCs and like the myths of society keeping it together, basically. And then he ends the book kind of depressingly, like talking about like biotechnology and artificial intelligence and like how humans are basically destroying the planet and all of the suffering that we've caused to different species, especially like agricultural animals in particular. But I like overall, I think that like he brings up a lot of interesting points and it definitely changed my perspective. Yeah, and actually that's like something Bill Gates wrote about too, was that like he specifically liked that it was kind of like a different perspective for a lot of the ideas that he brings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how seriously to take Yuval's visions of the future. Like, I don't know. I guess a historian is probably more suited to make a prediction than myself. But at the same time, I feel like there's this, like, 400-page book with all these details and citations and this, like, deep knowledge of the past that's being summarized to the point of unintelligibility in a few pages. But then, you know, he talks about the future and you gotta be like, what does he know? There's no books about the future.
Well, there is now.
Yeah, there is now. There is now.
We actually have the newer book. He wrote a second one, but we have the third one. So I guess we can stay tuned for another podcast.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it makes me nervous about Yuval because like his third book is a listicle. He wrote 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. So I feel like he really dialed into what people want to hear, you know, because people... You know, they don't want to hear about the past. They want to hear about the future, and they want listicles. So you really double down on what people want, and I don't know. That makes me a little skeptical. But it was a good book.
The Sapiens was a good book. Oh, we haven't read the new one yet.
Yeah, that one might be bad. I don't know. Yeah, sometimes I get worried about like very very famous nonfiction books. Like as I understand it, Why We Sleep was basically bullshit. I haven't read it, but. But one time he said something about alarm clocks, which made me angry, so I discount everything he says. I have very strong opinions about alarm clocks. If you're waking up to sound, well, I guess no one needs to wake up at any time in 2021, but if you're waking up to sound, it's just, what are you doing?
You're probably taking a Pop-Tart on your way to work. Is what you're doing.
Oh yeah. The other day Rihanna and I were walking down the street and we saw this guy in a suit eating a Pop-Tart and a Red Bull, and I'm sure he aced his job interview. Whatever he was doing.
He probably works at a bank.
Yeah,
probably just stamping things.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, banks are made up. We learned that from Sapiens. What's more made up, the U.S. dollar or Bitcoin? I guess they're about equally made up.
Yeah.
I'm always hearing these takes about how Bitcoin is very environmentally bad. But then I also hear these other takes, which I think are very interesting, where people are like, banks have buildings and buildings take energy and they have employees that they have to pay and those employees go and use the money they're paid to buy food, and like no one accounts for like all that energy that goes into like the current financial system.
Yeah, okay. So there was like a period of time when Jake and I were trying to get something like approved. What was it called? We need like a special stamp from someone
Yeah, we
and
needed to get our marriage certificate notarized.
okay, well, you don't need to say what it was,
Oh,
but
okay,
we need oh, notarized, yeah. So we needed something notarized and we finally like went to this bank and there's like a designated person to notarize things. Like it's just like sad that we have this system in place that we need like someone to be paid to sit there with a special stamp. And you can't like send in your documents unless you have this one person that literally all they do is stamp things. And I don't know, maybe they also like type on the computer or something, but
It is sort of sad, though. To be fair, I don't know if Bitcoin solves that problem, but it's unclear that Bitcoin solves any problem. I went to another Chase bank another time when I was opening an account because I had a check to deposit, and I finally decided I couldn't only have a virtual bank. And the person there who opened the account for me, they had this like really cute piece of paper taped to the bottom of their monitor that like said, "How have you?" and you was underlined, "grown your business today." And I thought it was really cute, but I also kind of felt like. Is her business Chase? Like, is she in charge of growing Chase? But maybe she has some side project. Or maybe she's very invested in the work.
Yeah. Well, I think we got a little sidetracked from Sapiens, but yeah, he does spend a lot of time describing how money is. It's very useful, but it's like all under the guise of like everyone believing in this thing which has no inherent value. You know, like we all like believe in money and that's like the common unifier and that's how like billions of us are able to coordinate and do a lot of things that one person couldn't do on their own. Like we have people to notarize things. Like how is that possible, you know?
Yeah, why does that person sit there all day?
Yeah.
Why aren't they frolicking in the fields looking for rabbits,
That
making
person
fires?
with the notarized stamp is the keystone in this whole society. Like I would not be able to do all the science, you know, unless someone was there to notarize. Like I couldn't do that on my own.
We need notaries to support us in our productive labor. Yeah, money's strange. So he kind of talks about money twice. Like before he talks about money, he talks about like
Companies.
LLCs. LLCs, some like corporations, they feel very modern, you know? Like they feel like everyone's talking about the stock market today, and it somehow feels like a 30-year-old invention, because it's the subject of so much modern controversy, but it's they're so old, you know. Like I was just reading about how Isaac Newton lost a substantial fortune on the South Seas Trading Company, as many people did back. It was the Bitcoin of the day, as I understand it, or maybe more of the what?
But Newton.
It just goes to show, you know, if you're buying Bitcoin, do you really think you're smarter than Sir Isaac Newton?
Yeah, the inventor of the fig Newton.
It's true. But that was like 400 years ago,
We've had fig Newtons that long.
right? How old is the Fig Newton? You can't ask Google on the podcast. We just have to speculate.
I was gonna
We'll add it
ask.
to the show notes. There are no
These
show
poor
notes.
listeners.
Yeah. These poor listeners. No, but people don't listen to podcasts to learn things. If they wanted to learn something, I don't
They'd
know.
read
Maybe
it.
they'd read a book. No, that.
No,
No,
that can't be true.
they'd read a math textbook. No one wants to learn anything. They just want to feel less alone. That's why they're listening. But you're not alone. We care about you. Thanks for being here with us. Rihanna just patted the mic in an affectionate way, but it probably just hurt your ears.
No, it's ASMR.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to listen and see if it sounded pleasant or boomy. Yeah, but LLC. Oh, yeah. Get that slurp in the mic. Yeah, I'll slurp too.
We're drinking tea.
Yeah.
But LLCs?
Yeah. Companies are less made up than money, right? Or...
Yeah, because he was talking about, like, the companies back, I don't know, Industrial Revolution or something. I don't know. But they were made up of, like, one guy. And so, like, there couldn't really be that many startups because... If a startup failed, then they lost everything. So they created these LLCs to represent individuals, or they act as like people, but they're not like no one person is liable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like an institution can take on debt without its members exposing themselves to debtors' prisons, as I understand were a thing back in the day. Yeah, it seems like a very important innovation for. Doing new things to like mitigate downside risk and allow people to be extended resources without like producing valuable things in the short term.
Oh, that made me think of something. So I can't remember if he brought this up like within this section or the next, but like with the LLCs, he also talked about like how much investment that we've made in these companies and like we have so much debt, but like then like I don't know, I guess like I was just kind of ignorant and didn't know that the bank has like some certain number of times that they can like lend money to someone.
Oh, so, yeah, like, the fractional bank, reserve banking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess like I had never read that spelled out for me like that before. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess like there's obviously a lot of things I don't understand, like where our toilet waste goes, but also like how the banks like divide money without going broke.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some quality YouTube videos that like paint it as a huge conspiracy theory, and perhaps it is. Yeah, I remember like back in high school listening to the Keynes versus Hayek epic rap battle of history. It's just a quality thing. I don't think it's an epic rap battle of history, but there's a musical production that pits Keynesian versus Hayekian. No, they say Venetian economics. But I don't think this is that related to fractional reserve banking, which is much older. Yeah, so I guess probably the few listeners are in the know, but if you don't know, when you give your money to the bank, they just turn around and give it to other people. They give it away.
No.
And then when you want your money, well, hopefully you don't all want your money at once. But I guess the U.S. government guarantees it. So if everyone wanted their money all at once, the U.S. would just print a bunch of money, and then the money that everyone wanted would be worthless or something.
And we'd be saved.
And we'd be saved. We'd be saved.
I hope you have been keeping your money stashes under your bed or under some logs.
Or on some like a normal hard person. Drive. Run by Bitcoin. We should become Bitcoin pumpers.
Pumpers?
Yeah. You know, like... Like when Elon Musk announced he's buying Bitcoin, it goes up. What if we did the same thing?
Oh, you might get like 5 likes, right?
No. If I just tweet out that I'm buying Bitcoin, I'm sure it'll double in value the next day. And then we sell it.
Or maybe we just don't buy it at all.
But then it doubles in value and we don't get rich. When I tweet out financial advice, you can trust it. You know what's funny is whenever I listen to podcasts, they always are very adamant that they're not giving financial or medical advice. I wonder, it seems like more of a meme to me than a real thing that if you like say you like a stock and then someone buys it, that they can see you. Then maybe it is a real thing. I don't know.
This is real advice right here, right now.
Good. It always seems like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No one's going to fucking consult their doctor. No one's going to consult their doctor before they buy their Bitcoin. It's just like a joke to like cover their ass or something. No one even has financial advisors. What's the financial advisor going to tell you to do? Buy index funds and wait 40 years to retire? That's bullshit. No one's going to do that. They're going to buy Bitcoin and retire broke. Or retire dead.
So, yeah.
You know, it's actually impossible for us to get off topic because the subject of this podcast is sapiens.
Well, one thing's for sure.
Wait, you think I'm just going to finish your sentence? What's for sure, Rhiannon?
I'm still loading, waiting for this. It was going to come, but I never did.
What's for sure, Rhiannon?
I guess you'll have to read the book.
Are you writing a book?
No, we're talking about sapiens here.
Oh, right. If you wrote a book, though, I would have you on the podcast, your podcast, to discuss it and promote it.
My podcast?
It's our podcast, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess people do that all the time, pump their own books, but not very many people pump their own cryptocurrencies. But only because most people don't have cryptocurrencies. 100% of people who do pump them.
Yeah, so anyways, money is a topic in this book, mm-hmm. Of course. Everyone cares about money.
Yeah, money is the last god left. Sorry to my religious listeners.
Yeah, okay. Another thing he talks about is religion. And he has, like, very strong words for Christianity. And I assume he's Jewish because he lives in Israel and studied at... Or, like, he... I don't know.
Yeah. I think he grew up Jewish and is, like, ethically Jewish. You know, not ethically. Ethnically? Isn't it ethnicity?
Ethically.
Anyway, I think his parents are Jewish.
If your mom is Jewish, then you are also Jewish, I believe.
Yeah. I guess we should invite a person of Jewish descent on the podcast for more perspectives.
Yeah.
I believe that is the case.
But he had a lot of good words for Buddhism.
Yeah. It's sort of funny because, like, Christianity and Islam and Judaism are obviously way more influential religions in history in some sense, because I think they have more followers. What better measure of influence, quote-unquote influence, could there be than how much it's influenced people? But he only talks about, like, Christianity for, like, a few pages, and, like, it's clear his perspective is, it's basically bullshit, it's horrible that anyone believes it, how did it last to the 21st century, it's crazy. And then his view of Buddhism seems to be, oh yeah, it's basically correct, it's very true, very deep, you should probably read more about it. It's sort of funny, because, yeah, I don't know, I guess there's no reason to be impartial in your coverage of humanity, but...
Yeah, I guess, like... You know, I actually didn't even know about, so my grandparents were, are Catholic, but I didn't even know about this, like, whole massacre within, like, Christianity, like, on, like, the different sects of Christianity killing each other and everything.
Oh, yeah. You said, like, the Pope was, like, happy to hear that 10,000 people in Paris were massacred or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of religious violence for a long time. And I guess still today.
Yeah. But in, like, generally that doesn't happen within Buddhism.
I don't want to say anything too authoritative, because I kind of feel like I'm just more familiar with Christianity, despite not even being that familiar with all the various massacres it's been responsible for over the years. I'm sure if we looked at history, we could find an example of a Buddhist who was a terrorist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems like there's less violence associated with Buddhism, maybe.
Yeah. I
should look more into it, because I feel like Buddhists were, like, persecuted at some points in history, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not all in the book Sapiens, unfortunately. Sorry, what were you going to say, though?
I also, like, didn't know that stuff about dualism or something. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, how religions kind of came to be and, like, how they're all, like, kind of converging, right? They're, like, converging to... Or no, sorry. they started out as like very polytheistic, like with the hunter-gatherers and everything, and like spirits and like animals and everything. And I really like that. I don't know, I feel like it gives value to like individual things and like respect for other species. But then like with the monotheism, which has like really boomed,
Big boom time for monotheism.
yeah. It's really good to be a monotheist right now.
No, I think monotheism is very 19th century. I think we're on to
Oh.
atheism. No, there's gotta be a prefix that means zero, because I wanna say like zero theism to like make it still seem more religious-y. Though I guess people
Yeah.
say that about militant atheists or whatever.
But I really liked his description of like monotheism. Like, how did he describe it? It was like, there was some contradiction like that, that Buddhism kind of like avoids, where like there's one God, he's like knows everything, but if you pray to him, he'll like, I'll take this exception and like give you something that you want, you know? But if there's like truly an omnipotent, like, I don't know, this God that like is the creation of the universe, like, why would they care about an individual's experience?
Yeah. So there was like dualism and the other thing. It was like, so why is there good and evil? So
Oh yeah,
yeah,
the
so
yin
oh
and
yeah,
yang.
Christianity says it's a monotheistic religion, but then there's this force of evil, the devil. So it's sort of like a, in some sense, a duo theistic religion.
Yeah.
And that's their solution to the problem of evil. There's like these two dueling things. And then Zoroastrianism is like God doesn't care about you, and that's why there's evil, because he's indifferent.
Yeah. Yeah, like was it like Hindu or like some religion in India or something that like there's the evil and the good, but the good like they don't really care if you pray to this like creator of the universe, but there's like the, you know, sub or deities
Menagerie
or
of lesser
something.
gods.
Yeah, like lesser gods that you can pray to that'll like solve like specific problems that you'll have because like the creator of the universe like doesn't have time. Like why would they care if your
Yeah, the
like
creator of
shower's
the universe
broke?
doesn't care about your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But the god of Bitcoin does.
Yeah. You better pray to that god.
Stonks. One might say that all companies are gods in a pantheon of our polytheistic society. What is GameStop? If you pray, he will give you PlayStation and perhaps gains and destroy Melvin Capital, a lesser god.
Yeah, that's another thing. So there's like some like even though Christianity is monotheistic, there's all like all these saints, right, that we pray to. So in
No. Sorry, I'm channeling my inner Catholic school training. You don't pray to saints. You pray through saints to God or something,
Oh,
or get
okay.
intercession on your behalf. It's
Okay.
very important. Don't keep any icons in your house. We're not polytheists.
So I never grew up with religion. I always wanted to go to church, you know, to experience it, but then when I actually went, there was like too much incense and I don't know, it was just really boring. Like my face, I wish you could see my face. It was just
Yeah.
like extremely boring for
Yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Church was hella boring. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like isn't there an increase in atheism or agnosticism right now?
Oh, well, yeah, the association with religion is like spiraling downward. I think it might have plateaued by now, just like to the militant believers, but yeah, it's been a good year or a good decade for atheism. Though I think like the atheists have gotten too smug, you know. Now everyone has to be like, well, obviously I don't go to church and don't believe in God, but I'm not a capital A atheist. That would be bad. Yeah, church was really boring though. Yeah, I was thinking about writing something about my leaving of the faith. But I think a big part of it was like my mom just obviously didn't want to go to church. It was just so obvious that it was like the worst part of her week when she had to like round us all up and get in the car. And she's like, oh, I hope we don't have the one priest who gives the 20-minute homilies about bullshit. And it's like, if you really believed that there was an omnipotent God that if you served would like let you live in paradise forever, like, I don't know, maybe it'd be the best part of your week. But yeah, actually the real reason though is because I read this article in Science? No, Discover? Some
there is no God.
Yeah. Well, no, it was about Islam. And I mean, I was just a dumb kid. I must have read it in middle school, and I didn't even realize that like people took Islam pretty seriously. And thinking about how other people took Islam seriously made me think, wait a minute, why am I taking Christianity seriously? I think that's the primary reason I stopped.
Yeah, definitely, like, thinking about other religions, I feel like, makes you, like, realize, like, wow, like, you're not just in a huge community of Christians. Like, there's a lot of people who have really strong beliefs about a lot of different things, so who is right, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like, this other person is very intelligent and, like, I don't know, like, you probably respect your peers, so.
Well, I'm not gonna go that far.
Okay. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. Because my stepmom was Jewish, and I really enjoyed celebrating the Jewish holidays and the menorah and everything, but I don't know. Like, it was almost sort of, I don't know, I don't want to, like, degrade this, but, like, it was almost sort of, like, never believing in Santa Claus for me. Like, it was just, like, something that people do to have a good time, but...
Mm-hmm. I, of course, very deeply believed in Santa Claus. I think yeah. That's another part of the reason I, like, turned against a lot of other teachings I received.
Yeah. Well, besides the religion, I was trying to, like, think about what else in Sapiens was important to mention. Did you have anything else for religion?
No, I think we gave the religion the time of the day it deserves.
And we're not really doing everything that Yuval brings up justice, because I don't know.
Yeah, much like Yuval can't cover 100,000 years of history in 100 pages, we cannot cover Yuval's book in a podcast.
Yeah. He brings up, like, this point where he talks about, like, what the world would be like if Sapiens hadn't, like, totally decimated the Neanderthals. And, like, there's always, like, the Neanderthals getting a bad rep for, like, being dumb or something.
Yeah, those fucking idiots, that's why we killed them. Yeah, it's kind of dark, actually.
Yeah, because there used to be a lot of different human species.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Sapiens.
Yeah, it's not just the Neanderthals, but there was, like, short ones in Australia or something. And not to be confused with Aboriginals. And there's Homo erectus. That's one too, right?
Why are you laughing?
No reason. They stood up very straight, very erect.
And there were some in Asia, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's like a lot of the beginning of the book, like speculation about like why humans ended up dominating the earth and why the other ones died out. Like, was it like, and he brings up the point that it's hard to like distinguish like us kind of edging them out and winning small conflicts versus like us straight up massacring them, and there's like not actually that much archaeological evidence for either one. And one of the coolest facts in the book is that, like, for me anyway, is that like
if the you kangaroos find...
Oh, the kangaroos! Oh, I totally forgot that there were 400-pound kangaroos in Australia before the Aboriginals arrived. Wait, Aboriginal's not, like, a slur, right? That's what they're called?
I think so.
Oh, you know, I'm not sure.
Okay, well,
Indigenous peoples.
Yeah. What was your cool thing? The fact?
I was going to say how, like, in ancient Europe, there were, like, little shells on Homo sapien campsites, but there aren't any shells in like Neanderthal campsites. Also, it's Neanderthal, like pterodactyl, right?
Yeah.
Not Neanderthal.
Yeah. Like a,
yeah. I guess we'd have to find a Neanderthal and ask. But yeah, so so campsites I'm like hundreds of miles from the coast had like shells that must have been traded for from other Homo sapiens, but I guess Neanderthals didn't involve themselves in trade. So capitalism is actually why Homo sapiens won.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could ask me. I'm like 0.06% Neanderthal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We learned that from the 23andMe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, was that above average, or?
I think it was slightly above average, but I think people of European descent have more Neanderthal.
Do you think this is why you don't pick up the shells when we play Animal Crossing? Because you're not a Homo sapien?
Not a homo like you.
No.
Someone's got to make that joke.
No, we could have gone the whole podcast, actually.
I don't know. It was so funny. When we were in Mexico, Jake did not want to get... I wanted to get this picture, but there's like a huge sign in this history museum that we went to with like Homo sapiens, and it was like yo homo sapiens.
Yeah. Yo homo. Yeah, I mean, I thought there's like a picture of me making like a weird savage face.
Yeah, that was for like just sapiens.
It said sapiens next to me?
I think it was like Homo sapiens, but there was a separate sign that said yo homo.
Oh, okay. I thought it... Yeah, I forget all the pictures we took. Check the show notes.
Yeah. I was going to say something else about the book, but now I forgot. So...
Scroll through. Flip through.
I was just reading kind of the history.
Yeah, do you think, yeah, what did he say about the future? I feel like he talks more about the future in his book that it's about the future, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. But, I don't know, I've got, like, a few, like, kind of doomer arguments in my head. Like, so people are always like, people have been forecasting the end of the world since the beginning of time. It's not going to happen during your lifetime, you know, like, literally in the Bible, you know, our first document besides all the other ones. They're like talking about the end of the world. And obviously those idiots didn't think we were going to make it 2000 years, but here we are.
And what a beautiful product of their legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they could see us now, I'm sure they'd be proud. Podcasters. So I think people like pointed that out, like, you know, what makes you smarter? We're going to live forever or something. But then I think there's this other argument that's worth making, which is that the human population has been growing exponentially, like about 1% year on year during the past century. And about 1 in 14 humans who ever lived is alive today, which is crazy. So I think actually if you're like forecasting the end of the world, you should think you're probably about right with a probability 1 in 14, like, you know, so you have to have some vision of the future. So either you think we're actually going to live forever, we're going to like solve interstellar travel, escape our sun, and get out, or you think eventually humans will go extinct. I guess there's this in-between option, or just because we don't go extinct for a while doesn't mean we don't like enter some steady state where we give birth at about replacement level, like I guess we do in America and Japan and most developed countries. Actually, like, less than replacement level. Like, I think America's at 1.7 children per woman. But our population grows because of immigration. But Japan's actually shrinks because people don't immigrate to Japan. So I don't know. It depends, I guess, what you think the probability of the steady state situation is. But it seems like if you think the situation is we exponentially grow until either that's impossible, so we kill ourselves, or we just exponentially grow forever because we solve the problems of interstellar travel. It seems like in the scenario where we exponentially grow until we kill ourselves, you should think that you are in the generation that will kill itself with probability 1 in 14. Especially if you see signs that things are coming apart at the seams.
Wait, was this the book that he talked about, like, we're in some sort of bubble? I just remember reading, like, that we're in some sort of bubble.
What kind of bubble? I feel like people are always saying we're in a bubble. Not Bitcoin.
We're in a bubble. And that's that, folks.
I read something about by Robin Hanson, which made me think that, like, we're kind of like in the in-between times where, like, our technology has outstripped our needs to a great degree. So, like, we're not very constrained by physical reality, but, like, I don't know, even if in America and Japan we're not growing at replacement level, some sects of, like, Mormons are growing exponentially, and, you know, in the long term, humanity seems like it's likely to grow exponentially until it can't. And so we'll eventually come up against hard resource limits, and then, like, maybe a lot of, like, our values will turn out to be luxuries we can't afford in this cutthroat struggle for survival. But maybe this is a different kind of between times and bubble than what you meant.
I don't know. I just remember reading something about a bubble.
Yeah.
It might not have been Sapiens.
I don't, does he say we're in a bubble? Oh yeah, he says something about how, like, all this fractional reserve banking is basically like a bet that the people you're lending to will produce more value than you afforded them. And if that, like, stops being true, then, like, suddenly there's all this money that people can't pay back, and it's a catastrophe.
Oh, shoot.
Oh yeah, there's a train going by, but, oh wow, that's a fast one.
No. I read somewhere that we're in, like, the bubble to end all bubbles. The bubble of bubbles.
Wow. Wait, who wrote that?
I don't know. Were you reading something like that? Did you send it to me?
I don't think I...
What were we watching?
We just watched Neon Genesis. You might remember the podcast we did, but what else did we watch lately?
I mean, I never read, so it must have been something you said.
I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
I guess sometimes I worry about inflation. Maybe my worries have leaked onto you or something.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out and get back to you in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Yuval says, money is all made up. So what if tomorrow we stop making it up? Could be bad.
Yeah, suddenly everyone will turn on each other when they realize money has no value.
Yeah, I don't think it's likely, though, because, like, if it happened tomorrow, maybe people would spend their money today. But they haven't spent their money today, so we're probably good. But I guess a lot of people are buying houses. Maybe we should buy a house right on it.
Hmm.
Or maybe Bitcoin.
Yeah, my plan is to live up in some weird place in Washington, undisclosed location.
Oh, yeah, yes. Maybe not Washington.
Yeah, maybe actually definitely not. And just go off the grid or something, whatever that means. With my phone, of course.
Yeah, and our podcasting equipment, of course.
Yeah, but nothing else.
What about our Bitcoin mining rigs?
Okay, fine.
Sorry, I don't know why I keep bringing it up. It's just such a funny thing. Only two rigs? Okay. I've never mined a Bitcoin in my life, so. But, you know, some people start goat farming.
The extraction process isn't too bad, yeah, right?
I want to make artisanal Bitcoins in our mountain lodge.
The craftsmanship.
These GPUs, they were...
You'll have to give us bags of apples in exchange.
Yeah, you the listener, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe your dad was talking about inflation. I feel like he was talking about inflation that one time.
Yeah, that sounds like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad is also in an undisclosed location.
Yes. I feel like the way you said that, you're like, you can't disclose his location. It's very important. We'd have to start over. We'd have to delete this podcast and destroy the hard drive on my laptop if I said the location by accident.
Yeah. Well, we can start canning things when money is worthless.
Yeah. Make some jams.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, one thing in Yuval's book that I never really thought about was like all of these myths that we tell ourselves or something, like the LLCs, money, like the fact that we need to go to schools, like the value of a college degree or something. Mm. Like that's all made up.
Yeah, school is actually really bullshit. I am of the opinion actually that the most grave moral catastrophe going on is what we do to our children.
Well, definitely the
no
Zooms.
One speaks for the children. Why won't anyone think of the children?
Finally.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really interact with that many children, so maybe it's fine. But I just have these memories of watching the clock go by. No one should spend their eighth year alive hoping the clock goes by faster so they can leave the room they're in. That's, like, horrible.
I remember looking at the clock as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it when I was just able to draw or something in class or do recess.
Yeah, just doodles. Yeah, yeah, recess was great. Yeah.
Like have fun and be creative or something. Instead of like trying to study for a test that would get me into the next classroom or something.
Yeah, yeah. And look what it's done to us. Now we're just...
We can't leave.
We can't leave. We're in the... We're still in school, actually. No! No!
Well, after this, we'll probably just go on walks and draw. So.
Yeah.
Get back to what we always wanted.
Yeah. I always wanted to be a podcaster.
I actually haven't.
Yeah, it's a very degenerate pastime. Oh, yeah, we were just talking about degeneracy. And Ryan was saying that before she met me, she didn't know anyone who described themselves as degenerate so often. But yeah. In every young man, there's two wolves. Between degeneracy and virtue.
So, is there anything else about Sapiens that we should mention? Probably a lot of stuff. But
yeah.
This is our
podcast. We didn't even talk about civilization. Oh, should we invite Yuval onto our podcast. I know he did a lot of podcasts. I watched his interview with Mark Zuckerberg. It was a strange interview because, like, Mark was like, so what do you think of this thing that could happen in the future? And Yuval was like, I don't know. It seems like it's up to you, Mark. What's the future going to be, Mr. Zuckerberg? But it was a good podcast, and I listened to a few others of them. So anyway, if you're listening to this, Yuval Noah Harari, you are invited to my podcast. I'll promote whatever book or cryptocurrency you want me to. There's the picture of Obama that's like... Wait, where is that picture?
Oh, yeah.
It's got like the caption about like nowhere... At no time in history did the nobles look so drab. Oh, yeah, I found it.
Yeah, it's about like alpha males and how like a lot of different species of alpha male dress pompously and stuff, and like King Louis the Eighth or something. Or...
Yeah, we got King Louis. Note the long wig, stockings, high-heeled shoes, dancer's posture, and huge sword. And then they've got a picture of Obama, and he's like, dominant men have never looked so dull and dreary as they do today. You know, I was going to push back on that and say, like, you know, he just looks normal to us because we see people in suits all the time. But actually, looking at these two pictures side by side, I think it's pretty clear that Obama does not have the same sense of style that King Louis did. Yeah. Like, where's Obama's sword? Oh my god, on his desk? I think that's a hole puncher.
Why?
Yeah, why does Obama need to punch holes? Maybe it's something else. I don't know. You look at it, it's on the left side of his desk. Is that a hole puncher?
The left side of his desk?
It was his left, my right. Oh. Or your right now. It's my left again.
No. I think that's a telephone and a like a box with a pen.
Oh, maybe. Is it a telephone? Oh, you're right. It is a telephone. Okay. Wait, I take it back. Obama doesn't have a hole puncher. So dull and dreary.
Yeah, what do you think about dominant men looking dull?
Yeah. I myself, at this moment, am wearing sweats and a t-shirt, both black. I actually made this t-shirt at a free grad student event where you... I didn't make the t-shirt. They gave us the t-shirts, but we put designs of Ohio on them.
We basically just, like, picked out the design and then, like...
Stamped it on. So I am a quite dominant man, being a preeminent podcaster, wearing, I would say, relatively dreary clothes.
Well, what does that mean, though? Like, men now that... Or, like, the fact that there's one woman for every man, so they're guaranteed... like reproductive success. No man has to like fight over other or like fight other men to get a fertile female. Like they don't need to dress so pompously or something.
Oh yeah, I guess the widespreadness of monogamy might have something to do with that, that men don't have to compete so fiercely to have 20 wives. Oh yeah, we watched this Netflix show, One Husband, Three Wives, which is quality, sort of a tangent. but those poor little boys were going to have to fight so hard to find a wife, I could tell. but yeah, maybe it has something to do with, like, democracy, you know? Like, we elected Obama, you know? He can't feel like he's better than us. We elected him. He's just one of us, one of the boys. But King Louis, you know, he's our king, you know? He's better than us. We can't challenge him. But if he didn't carry around his sword, someone might challenge him. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, what did Yuval say?
Like, even the President of the United States can't come out on TV and say he's better than you, even though he is, because he's the president. What did Yuval say? I don't think Yuval gives a explanation.
I think it's on the previous page.
I hope that sound sounded asthma-y. Let's see. A female can produce milk.
Okay, I think you're on the wrong section. Get out of that section.
What's so good about men? Oh, that was a really interesting section, but tangent.
Yeah, what is so good about men?
I know, it's ineffable, but they're pretty great.
Yeah, the point that he was making was like, women who are better at collaborating, you know, in Yuval's words, not mine, are... dominated in a sense by men who are like more prone to aggression and less like collaborative. But like the whole point of sapiens as a species is that we're able to collaborate and learn from each other.
Yeah, like even if men are individually stronger, that doesn't mean they should like rise to the top of like our social hierarchies. And I think he gives examples of African elephants and bonobos where the woman's
bonobos.
Yeah
Where women, Earth? It's a matriarchal society.
Yeah, but they have like similar properties where like the female bonobo and elephants seem more cooperative and are less strong than their male counterparts. But yeah, they rule organizations. But that doesn't seem to happen with humans so much.
Yeah, like even so, I read a book that was talking about how like women are inherently like non-monogamous, but there's like. Something to be said, but like about why like all these independent cultures and societies have been using monogamy and like men as the dominant sex or something.
Wait, so women are less monogamous?
No, than I'm men? Okay. You know the book Woman?
Oh yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah. So she argues like women are actually like less happy in monogamous relationships. Like when men are married or something, they'll like feel happy. They're like, they're increase in happiness is greater than like a woman's increase in happiness.
But women are also happier than they would be if they were single.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's something about like over time women become less happy or something.
Oh.
In like long term.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Should we prepare
less,
now?
Less happy than men would be.
Oh, okay. Men are just happier on average than women than modern
what?
Society.
What? Really?
Right? I thought maybe we need to look at some surveys.
Huh.
Well, I'm sure there's like not a huge population difference. I'm sure there's bigger individual variance than intergroup variance.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. Like, I don't know. I think even Yuval said that there's like so much variation within the sapiens, like, you know, the different species of humans and like within different like communities of sapiens in the hunter-gatherer societies where like they might have matriarchal society or like they would have like non-monogamous or something. Didn't he say there's like probably a large variety
that that was interesting. Yeah, because like I guess people are very often in the modern day being like you should do XYZ because it's more true to our ancestral environment, but then he points out that it's probably the case that some tribes of human were monogamous and some were polyamorous, and either case doesn't really have that much bearing to how you should live your life today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like I don't know. I feel like I always read things about like how women need to be more in more positions of power and stuff like that, and there's like less violence when women are in charge. But it seems like we're kind of also like going away from that now that like this pandemic has really caused women to stay home more.
It's caused men to stay home
more.
Yeah,
too. It's caused more people
to
stay home.
Hey, you go to lab every day while I'm just here making the home, doing the vacuuming.
Okay, well. Yeah, I appreciate that. But I mean, like, more women take up the childcare because they want to spend time with their kids. And I don't know. Every kid needs their mom. But
I'm saying.
Kids, like, don't need their dad, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see my dad very much. He was always in Taiwan.
But anyways, so there's probably going to be maybe fewer women in leadership positions in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years from, like, people deciding to stay home with
Wait,
their
do
kids.
You want to make a bet? Because I actually think that's false. I will bet that in 4 years, there will be more women in the Senate than there are today.
Okay, I guess what my point was that the rate of women going into these places are going to slow. I don't know about the exact number.
Oh, so you think the difference between the number of women today and 4 years ago will be greater than the difference between the number of women in these leadership roles today and 4 years in the future? Like, it'll keep increasing and towards tending towards equality, but at a slower rate?
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like I still vaguely disagree, but maybe. I don't know. You know, we have a woman vice president. We also have a vice president president, though I guess that's happened before in history. I guess the second president. I mean, was Thomas Jefferson a vice president before? No, I'm thinking of Adams. Or I don't know.
Abe Lincoln?
Somehow this didn't make the Sapiens cut early American history. Abe Lincoln was never vice president.
Yeah, I know that.
But his vice president did go on to become president.
Yeah, okay. So we also talked about the gender bit of it, too.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess, like, in the end, Yuval is like, yeah, we don't really know why men are, like, so dominant.
Because mm-hmm.
it doesn't really make sense, but it is fact mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah. Yeah, how much of a fact is it? I guess, yeah, there are... what are examples of, like, woman emperors and heads of state from before the 20th century. There's Cleopatra, like 5,000 years ago or something. No, 2,000 years ago. Oh, yeah, Cleopatra is closer to the modern day than the building of the pyramids at Giza.
Than she was to the pyramids of Giza, right?
Yeah, yeah. 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 Pretty shocking.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive.
Just like today in 2021, we're further from landing on the moon than when they landed on the moon they were from the first flight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say than we are to landing on Mars or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think we're going to land on Mars during our lifetime? Can we go on vacation to Mars?
I don't want to go to Mars.
Oh, right. I guess you talked about this before. I'm going to feel bad, like, leaving you at home to take care of our kids when I go to Mars, though. I guess maybe I'll take the kids. They'll probably want to go, too.
When you get back, it'll be, like, 80.
What, because we're going to travel at the speed of light? Or because I'm going to leave when I'm 79?
No, because you're going to... Well, maybe, but...
It's going to be hard to celebrate my birthday on Zoom with a 20-minute delay.
It's going to take you so long to get there.
I know, it just takes like 6 months, I thought. Oh. If you do it at the right time.
Oh. You'll still be 80.
Maybe.
How old are you?
79. The years, they keep coming. They wear on me. Weigh me down.
Well, that sounds like a good place to wrap it up.
Okay, yeah, yeah. It was a really good conversation, I thought. We didn't get to all of human history, so maybe this is part one. But it was a good conversation, I thought.
Well, the best part of human history is right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right here. This podcast is the pinnacle of art and culture. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Good night.